Thank you for joining Wells Tech once again. This is episode 330 for Tuesday, February 25th, 2014. Special show focused on educational technology. Very familiar face joining us to help us, Gail Potratz from New London, Wisconsin. And we've also asked a professor from Concordia Lutheran University in Mequon, Wisconsin, Tyler Shattuck, to join us to talk about alternative ways of assessment, especially the use of badges. You'll also learn how you can earn your own Wells Tech badge. Stay tuned for that and a lot more.
This is Wells Tech, a show that explores the intersection of technology and ministry. Wells Tech is a part of the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome back to Wells Tech Show, where we talk about technology in the context of ministry. We do that each and every week, Tuesdays, 4 o'clock, just like now. And joining me, Martin Spriggs, as usual, is...
I'm Sally Draper.
Sally Draper. I screw that up every week.
We'll get it right eventually, Martin. I'm happy to be joining you today and happy that it's not just the two of us today. There's actually four people in the room.
Four people in the room, and one of them you know from our monthly classroom folk, our educational technology focus. That's Gail Potratz. Hello,
everybody.
Gail.
Hello, everybody. Good.
How are
good
you?
To be back. Good. I'm great. Waiting for spring like everyone else. And
yeah, I heard coming in about June this year.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And anxious to introduce people to a friend of mine from Concordia University, Tyler, who's with us today. So,
Tyler Shattuck from Concordia University, online learning systems analyst. I had to write it. I'd ask and then write it down, and I went to all that trouble. I wanted to say it. So welcome, Tyler. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me. It's excellent what you're doing.
So it was through trials and tribulations that we got all folks here together from the four corners of the Midwest here, I guess you'd call it. A topic that is kind of cool is when you talk about educational technology, there's all kinds of things that you can talk about, things that are kind of mainstream in the classroom, and then there are also some things that are kind of on the edge, but trending, I'd call it. And the topic for today is one of those trending topics that you're going to hear about, I think, as you go to teachers' conferences and just a ton of online content now, and that is what? What are we talking about? What are we calling this thing?
We're going to call this thing alternative assessment, and especially badges.
Badges, B-A-D-G-E-S. And that's Tyler's sweet spot. That's how, when we did our planning, Gail said, oh, I know a guy who knows a lot about that. Because when you looked at me or Sally, we were newbies in the badge space. But we've got some special prizes later, or surprises later, too, in that badge space. So why the topic? Why is this something that is of interest in educational circles?
Is this just open conversation right now?
Open.
Yeah. Jump. Go ahead.
If you don't talk, Tyler, you won't be able to talk.
I think this is one of my first podcasts. I think it's great because it involves something called gamification. And that's, again, I need to draw a line between gamification and something else called game-based learning. Game-based learning is when we we have the students maybe play like a game of kickball, and to get to first base, they have to say a vocabulary word. Gamification is more a means of motivation that we can get students involved and engaged. It could be through points, could be through leaderboards, whatever have you. Badges are excellent with that because there's something that students can collect, show off, show to each other. And so it's something better than just a good job. It's something that can hold on to something tangible.
So one of the questions that I had, since I'm not in the classroom on a day in and day out basis, certainly not in front of, grade schoolers or high schoolers or even college age kids on a regular basis, is Isn't this how is this different than competition? A spelling bee or, prizes that are given for the first person to do X, Y, or Z. Is this any different? Is there a different flavor to this? How is this different than just kind of your run-of-the-mill, first place, second place, third base, third place thing?
Well, with badges, the first thing you have to remember is you either have a badge or don't. It's pass-fail. No one has a higher percent badge than someone else. There can be levels of badges. People can say you're in the level one vocabulary badge because you completed the level one criteria. But once you have it, there's no competition in that level. But there's maybe a competition in I have this many badges or I have completed this set of badges. Competition is still there. It's not as prevalent as maybe points or leaderboards, but I think that might touch on what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone else have any ideas on that?
Yeah, I think what I like about it is it's a good attempt to try to connect the actual learning with the artifact or the badge, so that when people do win a badge, they have there's content there's credibility there. People can respect what it is that they did to earn that badge. It's well known that if you have that badge, you've achieved this type of learning. And I think it's often described like the old Boy Scout type of badge system where there was a certain skill, and when you performed it correctly, then you got the badge, and you tried to amass, an amount of these, and you didn't do it necessarily to compete with other kids, but you did it to advance your own learning to a certain degree. And in that system, you wanted to eventually become an Eagle Scout. But the same idea applies, the idea of not connecting the badge to competition with other people as much as competition maybe to encourage yourself to motivate yourself to move on.
Right. Okay.
I did some pre-podcast reading. Gail actually pointed me to articles by Bernard Bull. I think he's one of your colleagues there, Tyler. And
yep, I'm sitting in his office.
Awesome. He recently attended the Open Badges Summit. So there was a lot of good information shared in his blog post that he's been cranking out since that event. And one thing he points out in it is something called micro-credentialing. And he points to the fact that a lot of times a grade for a class, maybe an A in economics or whatever it may be, doesn't really define what was involved, what criteria the students were graded on, or all of those different components, the different incremental things they learned along the way. Maybe it's economics, maybe it's vocabulary, whatever it is. Through the use of badges, then, they're actually able to display the individual steps and criteria that they learned along the way. So I thought that was a really neat offshoot of the fact, yes, you're motivating the students, yes, they get these cool badges, but they also have a kind of a history of what they've learned in smaller steps than we're used to seeing.
Mm-hmm. So how does this physically operate or work, Tyler? So if a teacher wanted to explore the use of badges, what would their first, couple steps be? How would they get started in using them?
Well, I've worked a lot with digital open badges. It uses a framework that Mozilla Foundation made called, I believe it's the Open Badge Infrastructure, or the OBI. But we don't need to necessarily start there to start using badges. Badges can still be little paper sheets we cut out that have maybe a thumbs up on it that we give to certain students for doing certain things, or you can start there. But if you want to jump into the OBI form of badges, the open badges, a good place to start is a place called Credly. Credly is a service that allows you to issue badges and receive badges. So it's a place you can store badges and give badges. Thank you. We don't have to walk through it now, but when you're giving someone a badge on Credly, you give the badge a name, you upload an image, you give it a description, you link to criteria. So what did it take to earn this badge? You might link to yourself and your own website in that badge. You obviously give it up a recipient, some evidence, and you can even give it an expiration date. So I'd suggest if you want to start exploring badges, you can simply go on Credly, and all it takes is having a web address. Now, for educators, you have to keep in mind that at this point, you can't legally issue a badge, an open badge, to someone under the age of 13. It's
Oh, really?
It breaks some laws that they're working on another way that maybe be more compliant with those laws right now. It's in a something called Badge Kit that's going to be launched next month, I believe. It's very fuzzy right now what Badge Kit's going to be, but that's another thing that you have to keep an eye on, I guess.
So why is that? What is the what is the issue there? Just online privacy, because the kids have to have an account to be able to get a badge?
Yeah, I think they need it's that their guardian should have, I think. And now I'm not an expert on the legality of this, but that their parent or guardian does not have access to say if what their content is, and it's not compliant enough for 13 and under for certain internet laws, Child Privacy Acts or something like that.
Okay. So if somebody doesn't have to create their own badges, there's probably a wealth of them out there that have been pre-created that look nice and, you know, conform to some kind of specification.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other thing with what's nice about Credly. You can issue other people's badges. I don't think I've done that. But some badges you can say when you're creating a badge, if you want to let other people reissue it. The other wonderful thing I didn't mention about Credly is that it has a builder that builds the image of the badge. It doesn't look like I'm a graphic designer as well. So it's not anything super fancy, but it'll definitely do, to get the point across. So they have an image builder that lets you easily create something. So it doesn't really require that much graphic background even to create a badge on Credly.
So a person who wanted to create badges to use in a grade school setting, Tyler, I've talked to Tyler about this before, that my plans would be for next year to create a system of badges for the writing area of language arts, okay? And I could get away with the 13-year-old thing if I just did a paper badge or if I just made my own and put it on my website or whatever. That wouldn't be an issue. But eventually you'd like to get it all nice and organized so that it could move with the kids if they move to a different school and that type of thing. But for a person like me who's starting out doing this, this is my intent, and you tell me if I would be going about this correctly. But I'm working on laying out the parameters of what each badge would entail. Okay, this badge one is going to, in order to get badge one, these are the requirements that you'll have to learn, and then there would be a final artifact they would produce that would be connected with that badge, stored with that badge. Okay, and mine are all going to be expiration dated so that they have to revisit that skill eventually. But so I would be doing more or less the thinking paperwork before I would get anywhere close to looking for someone that could make a nice little picture, because I can't do that.
And Gail, in the pre-show conversation, you even said you could use your existing rubrics to do that, to set up those criteria. You basically, as teachers these days, have to have rubrics in place for almost everything, and that could become your criteria for earning the badge.
Right. It isn't too big of a step to go from a rubric to a criteria, right? Mm-hmm. Is that right, Tyler? Is that kind of how you envision that, or am I not thinking correctly along those?
I think you might be. I'll just reiterate just for fun. One thing that we had a part of our we had a massively open online course called
Beyond Letter Grades.
Thank you. Learning Beyond Letter Grades. I just it blanked on me. And in one of our week we focused on. We focus on badging for 1 week, and we actually had the founder of Credly come in our live webinar and speak with us. I think you were there, weren't you, Gail?
Yes, I was.
You were on that one. And in that webinar, he said something along the lines of digital badges can be used to acknowledge, endorse, honor, certify, or verify. So there's many uses of a badge. You're just doing one of those things when you have a badge. Similar to what you're working on, Gail, Concordia is working on, and we're still in the rough planning phase. So don't take anything I say as something we're actually doing yet. But we're working on taking that ed tech program that you're a part of and making it a competency-based badge system. So instead of being courses eventually, it'll just be badges. And once you have all the badges, theoretically, you'd get the degree. Yep.
Right.
So what that changes for the curriculum, as I'm talking to the directors of this program, is that instead of just being a course where you do something maybe, we have to be very intentional and say they're competencies. So what we're giving is our competency badges are what they're called.
Yeah.
So
you're actually breaking it up into smaller pieces too then in the process.
So the courses are breaking up even smaller. So in this course, I need to be able to do this skill. So if I can prove I can do that skill, I get that competency. So that's
right.
Yeah, that's might be more of it. And what you were saying about keeping that as a portfolio through life, I'd wait and see what happens next month with the badge kit thing that Mozilla's working on, because they might be allowing under 13-year-olds to keep a backpack of badges online.
Excellent. Just a couple of more pages that I wanted to point out before we got away from this topic. There's some great resources out there. This is a Google site, and they have a whole page dedicated to badges for learning. They even mentioned that you can buy an actual button maker, a physical button, and hand the kids a little button to pin on their backpack or their bulletin board or whatever. So, and that's another application of it. There's an article from Edudemic, The Teacher's Guide to Badges in Education. I think it has some great idea starters there as well. And one other website, classbadges.com, is another site where teachers can create badges online and award them to students. So similar to Credly, it's classbadges.com. And just kind of revisiting Credly, we want to give you guys a little bit of credit. We actually created, and Tyler, you're going to be the first ever recipient of the Wells Tech interviewee badge from Credly. So I'll be sending you an email very soon awarding you that coveted interviewee badge. Gail, we're going to put you in the Wells Tech Hall of Fame. Martin and I are there because we were testing it. But you and Jason have definitely earned the cred for the Wells Tech Hall of Fame, as well as our friend Rob Gunther. We always refer to him as a Hall of Famer. So we have badges on Wells Tech. We also created a badge called Community Contributor that we're going to begin awarding to anyone who submits a ministry resource or listener review.
Nice.
So we want to jump into the badge arena as well, and you guys are right there getting the very first one. So congratulations.
Well,
what an achievement.
Thank you. But I do have to say it's probably not quite as nice as that Apple TV that you're hanging out there for
Oh, come on. You haven't actually seen the badge yet.
Yeah.
Very awesome. Nice.
Yeah. Our thanks to one of our staff members here in the center office, Brianna, who actually made the badges for us. So, and she's a graphic designer. So Tyler, you are more older than 13, right? So you
can yes, I'm older than 13.
Okay. Don't want to break any laws there.
Surprisingly enough. So.
All right. Any other advice, Tyler, before we let you go, for somebody kind of thinking about getting into this space, resources, you know, first steps, the things to watch out for, methodology?
I think especially because I'm in the ed tech program, and I think one of the first things I learned was you don't make it too complicated. I mean, I'm a system analyst, and I've been studying the background of these things, and I could give you some advice, but you probably just keep it simple, keep it something you can work on. Use that to motivate your students. If you have any other questions otherwise, feel free to ask.
Cool. Tyler, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to let you go, and we're going to get on with our other business, but really appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we can circle back with you again in the future and see where all this is going.
Appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
All right.
Bye, Tyler.
Bye.
All right. Interesting conversation. He's gained a lot of knowledge for being such a young guy, and this is a topic that it seems like is going to gain steam pretty quickly.
You know, it definitely is, because of the fact that there are colleges now even that are doing very different alternative assessments than they used to. There's a handful of colleges that no longer use letter grades. They use mostly anecdotal records. There are colleges that are no longer requiring SATs or ACTs for students to get into college, because they have done enough studies to prove that the success of the kids in college really isn't very closely connected to those scores. So there's a lot of game changing, I think, going on up there. And I'm really excited to be a part of the project Tyler talked about in the EdTech courses there, where we're making these into badge courses. Because I've seen in working with people in there, it's really hard to assess people, to grade people. You know, I think the badge thing is going to make it really a lot easier to say, yes, they can do this. No, they can't do this yet. You know, which an A minus or a B plus really doesn't tell you that.
I agree.
So yeah. I'm really excited about it. I think it's a really good look into the future.
Cool. Well, it'll be interesting to see how it goes and people's reaction to their beautiful WellsTech badges, too.
They do look nice. They do.
All right, let's move on to our next segment of the show. We don't have any listener feedback, or we don't have any listener reviews, and we don't have any ministry resources, so no badges given today. So let's keep
just
that
wait
in
till
mind
next week.
For next week. tips of the week. I'm going to lead things off, and let me just do a quick semi-screen share. And this is for you, actually, Windows users. It works best on Windows 8, but it also works on Windows 7. And especially if you do a lot of presenting and sometimes there's something on the screen that you want to kind of pop out and give a closer look at, magnify, and there is a built-in magnifier tool that a lot of people don't remember exists within Windows. In Windows 7, you have to actually go to the Start menu and type in magnifier and load it up that way. But in Windows 8, there's a keyboard shortcut, and I'm all about keyboard shortcuts, and that is the Windows key and the plus key. So Windows plus will begin to open up, will open up the magnifier and begin to zoom in wherever the cursor is. So I'm going to just try and do that on my Windows machine over here. So if I get Windows plus, it should zoom it in, and then wherever I move the mouse, it's going to follow right along. And I can go Windows minus to zoom out a little bit. If I go again, it'll go all the way back and in and out. And then to close it, you just hit the Windows and the Escape key to get rid of the magnifier function. Now it'll just kind of stay there resident. You can kind of see it there on the screen with this magnifier icon. You can change the steps at which it magnifies, and you know the plus and minus will move it in and out, of course. So that's a quick and easy way to bring something into the center of the screen that maybe is a little too small for the kids to see. Maybe it's a paragraph or something that you know, portion of an image that you want it to blow up. It's not going to keep it as crystal clear resolution as it might were the image blown up through other mechanisms, but it will draw attention to a particular portion of the screen. And it comes for free in the operating system. So Mac has something similar, although that's not my tip of the week. It's the Windows key with the plus button will open up that magnifier and launch it right in.
I know why it's not your tip of the week, so that's so you can do it another week, right? You got to save the Mac version. We're not talking about it yet. Yeah. So. You know, I think all those manufacturers of reading glasses that I keep in business are crying right now, because I might not even need my reading glasses if I can zoom in like that.
Exactly. So, yeah, it does help for those of us that actually need to magnify the screen for ourselves, too.
Yeah.
All right, who's going next here? Who's up in the lineup? Sally, your tip of the week.
My tip of the week is simple and straightforward, and that is if you're planning to connect online start early. And what I mean by that is oftentimes we'll schedule training or we'll schedule Google Hangouts for the Wells Tech podcast or whatever it may be, conference calls using some online software, whatever it may be, and it typically bogs down the beginning of your meeting if everybody shows up right on time. So if your meeting time is 4 p.m., perhaps you want to have everybody join 5 to 10 minutes earlier so you can iron out any kinks, help them with their access to the meeting.
Make sure their microphones are working, cameras are good.
Yeah, all that stuff. So
maybe a quick tutorial of the screen options, those kinds of things. Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
It was quite the chaotic scene here on Wells Tech before this show, trying to get four people together and everybody's microphones and cameras working. So
start early, folks. That's my tip.
That is great.
I did start early. I started early this afternoon. I was already having trouble before you saw me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't expect technology just to work, especially if you're involving more people than just a couple. So.
That's right.
All right, Gail. Excuse me, Gail. Your tip.
Well, my little short one is also very short. It is a Chrome extension, so you just need to be using the Chrome browser, and they have many wonderful extensions that make your life easier. I happen to be a habitual tab opener and non-closer.
Yeah, you're not
so
the only
I usually
one
have
on
at least
who does that.
I usually have 50 or 60 of those things up there. And so I finally one day ran into a little app, extension, I should say, that's just called Close All Tabs. And so it's just a little stop sign up in my browser bar. And when I just feel like, oh, I have way too many up there, I know it's bogging me down, I just hit that button and start from scratch. So
end the madness button. Yes.
I love it. Yep, I love it. So I figured someone else must have that habit too. So there you go.
Yep. We've talked about some tab closers before. There's one tab, which I think I've recommended. Sally, I think you used something else even. So.
I've talked about one tab too, but I like this one even better. One tab, I use it, but then I forget it's there. So then I end up opening more tabs that have the same thing in that the one tab has in. So I like to clear them all out.
Okay. Fresh start.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Good advice. Great tips this week. Badges for all. No, I'm not giving badges for all. Sorry. Okay.
I'd be doing a lot of badging then.
If you're a competitive person, if you're a gamer, badges are for you.
I am. I love
I like them.
So I'm already counting my badges.
I actually have some badges out there on Credly because when I took that course, the course that Tyler mentioned, I actually took that course and for everything that you did, you earned a badge. So I have about 5 or 6 badges from that course. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's
you can build them up quickly, especially if you give them to yourself, like Sally did.
Works well.
Yep. Yeah. Let's go to our picks of the week. Gail, we're going to let you lead off the picks.
Okay. Mine could be pretty scary, though. I'll warn you. I'm going to try this. I have an iPad app that I'm going to try to share with you on the screen. So bear with me.
Okay.
If it doesn't work, then I'll just talk you through it. But I really would like to see if this does work. So I spent a fair amount of time working with a couple different systems to try to make it work. So let's see what happens.
So you're sending your iPad screen to your computer screen in order to share.
Right.
Yes.
Through AirPlay. Okay. Yep. So I can see that now. So I'm wondering if I can get you to see it.
So you need to share your screen?
Well,
that's the green arrow.
Right. Maybe we can't do that on this because it takes up my whole screen, so I don't see the
Hangout
anymore.
Let me try
this.
You just have to get to the Hangout window to.
Okay. Yep. Let me get back there. Okay, I'm going to do this.
It's like gymnastics.
Oh, there we go. I see it.
This is great radio, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Look at that.
Okay, I'm going to say deny. I hope that doesn't turn that off. But okay, so here we go. This is what I'm on my iPad screen now. I'm sharing that with you. And I have to open up my Geo board. This is not what I'm sharing with you, but I just have to make something so that I have something to show you in the next part. So
what is a Geo board?
Oh, a Geo board is a great thing. It's just like a regular Geo board, only you know, I have rubber bands that can shoot around the classroom.
Well, I don't even know what a regular Geo board is. So this
Well, shapes and geometry and angles and all that stuff, you know. So this is a very cool app in itself, but we're going to pretend that we've all been working on a lesson in class and we have everybody's got their iPad or their group has their iPad, and now time for the assessment. I want to see if they really know what all the shapes are. My goal was they could draw them and name them, okay, recognize them. So all they have to do is, just like any iPad app, if you want to take a screenshot of it, you do the home button and the on and off button at the same time.
Yep.
So then you take a little, and that goes in your photo sharing, or not photo sharing, but the photo
camera
bucket,
roll,
whatever they call it.
Well, camera roll, yeah.
It's the camera roll, but then there's also the photo. Now they have the other one with the kind of flowers on it. It's two places, actually. I'll show you. But anyway, okay, so then you get out of here. Get out of that app. And now I want to go to the app that I really want you to see, which is called Doceri, D-O-C-E-R-I. And Doceri is a lot like, low battery. It's a lot like EduCreation or any of that kind of stuff, but it's better, and I'll show you why. Okay, so now I got to find the one that I did, or nope, I'm going to make a new one. So here I'm opening up.
We're just seeing a Doceri. Oh,
there it is.
There.
Can you see it now?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so now I'm opening up a new one, and on the top there are a bunch of tools, and I'm not sure that you can see those.
No.
No?
Looks like a whiteboard, huh?
Yeah, and there's tools on the top. I'm sorry you can't see them, but believe me, there are some there, and I'll describe them. The first tool is the picture tool. So what I'm doing is I'm going to the iPhoto library or the camera, whichever one I want to go to, and in there I can see the camera roll. So I'm going to grab a picture out of there that I just did, and now it pops into my little diagram here, and now I can hit a button on the top that says record. So I am now recording this for my teacher, and I'm going, these are the shapes I learned about today. This one, oops, sorry, this one right here is called
a
rectangle.
Okay.
And over here I have another rectangle. This one is not a rectangle because it doesn't have four sides, blah, 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 blah. I can talk about rectangles all day. And then your bottom line is, but all of them are quadrilaterals. I learned that it's a quadrilateral if it has four sides. We didn't even learn about angles. We just learned about sides in this one. But there's the word that they are. So now, you know, hopefully they would do a better job than I did. But then when they're done with this, the beauty of this is you can do a lot of things with this. You can email it. You can put it in Dropbox. You can put it, you know, in any of your social networks. I don't know why you'd want it there, but you can. You can, so it makes it easy to move things around. You can email it. Like if my kids all had iPads, they would all have my address on there, so when they emailed it, it would go right to me, and then I could either print it off and put it up in the room if it was something cool that we wanted to show, or, you know, stick a badge on it or whatever I wanted to do with it. But I think Doceri is just a really neat tool for getting kids' work to you, and, you know, this is a neat assessment where they talk about it, they show it. In a lot of different ways, you can tell what they learned from the lesson.
So what they're doing is they're recording their screen.
Yep.
Okay, and then what you get is the video
and sound, and
yeah,
sound.
Right.
So you get basically a little video because you get the sound and you get the
audio.
They're
basically whiteboarding what they did, so they can insert pictures, you know, draw on the board, do annotation, that kind of stuff.
Right. And when you open it in your email, you will actually see them, hear them, and see them drawing all this. It's not just a picture.
Right.
It's actually the movement and everything, just like
sure.
you see on the screen. So I think that's a pretty fantastic tool for free.
Kind of like a voice thread for the iPad.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
I like it because you can assess the one thing that you wanted them to get out of the lesson, you know. And you really know they got it if they can draw it and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. And price tag?
Free.
Free on iOS, I assume.
Yep.
Okay.
You can do it on your phone, too.
Okay. Kudos on your use of technology there, Gail. That was
no, it worked.
That was sweet. All right, Sally, top that.
Well, I have something for all the coders in our audience, those that want to learn how to code. It's been a popular topic lately in education circles, and here's a fun way to motivate young and young at heart to learn coding. This is courtesy of my friend Brent Nimmers, who's a member of Atonement in Plano, Texas, sent me an article from CNET this week about code combat, learning to code through dungeon crawling. And the concept is that it's a fun interactive game where there's ogres and dungeons and wizards and all kinds of fun things that kids like to play these days. But in order to move your player around the screen, you have to actually write JavaScript. So I did the introduction. I came here to codecombat.com and clicked play, and you can do the introduction and get a little flavor of it without creating an account or anything. And I moved the guy around, and I had a in my weapons arsenal, I had a particular spell that I could use, and he beat the bad guy. So I did all of that by typing JavaScript coding into an emulator that's over on the side of the screen, and then my guy responds, and I see the brutal action on screen in the gameplay. Pretty cute, cartoony kind of characters, and it has sound effects and things. There's people that talk to you and guide you along the way and stuff like that. Interestingly, there's a place where you can actually, if you're an employer and looking for someone with these kind of skills, people can sign up if they've completed, you know, all the levels. And there are some pretty difficult levels. There's beginner levels, but it gets into harder things that you can do on the play. And you can sign up. I guess you earn the credentials or the badges that show that you've mastered this kind of difficult coding to make this game happen, and employers can actually find people right here on the website who have those credentials. So I thought it was a really cool way to expose people to coding. It's at codecombat.com.
Cool. So do they have more than just JavaScript? Is it a bunch of different languages?
Or? No, right now it's just JavaScript.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to sign you up for help on the Wells mobile app because that's what that's built in. So.
Oh, yeah. I actually signed my eighth grader up. He's mastered all the beginner levels already. Doesn't take him long.
Cool. Okay. Last and least probably is my app. And this is for all you English teachers out there. Gail, you're included in that. And you had heard of this app when I previewed this, but I've used it a number of times now. It's called the Hemingway app, HemingwayApp.com. It's a website. They also have kind of a beta desktop version, but the website works perfectly fine. But basically what it is you plug in your text, and it'll evaluate your text based on certain criteria. So just to demonstrate, those of you that are watching at home, I'm just going to cut and paste some recent blog post that I posted on Wells.net called The Technology of the Cross. I'm just going to paste it right in here. It's going to evaluate it, and right at the top it gives you a readability level. And the readability level of the blog post that I wrote is grade 6. And for whatever reason, they say that's good. I wasn't writing it with any grade level intended, but you English teachers will have to tell me whether I should be writing at a higher level or not. Tells you how many paragraphs, sentences, words, characters. You know, it's just general, the science of the text here. But then it goes on to say how many sentences were hard to read, and it gives a little description of that. So 3 out of the 43 sentences were hard to read. 1 of the 43 sentences are very hard to read, and it'll tell you which one it is as you scroll through it, and those are in red. You know, it might be a run-on sentence or too many commas or an ellipsis or something like that. Then it flags adverbs. It says 2 adverbs. Aim for 2 or fewer adverbs, so I guess I'm okay there. Adverbs, I think English teachers or literature teachers will tell you that the overuse of adverbs can cripple your writing. You maybe want to rephrase it without the use of adverbs. It'd be a more forceful composition. One words or phrases can be simpler. 8 uses of the passive voice, aim for 9 or fewer. And then it highlights all this, and you can kind of actually go in and edit it as well, and it will improve your score as you go along. Just kind of a cool tool. I guess a word of caution, I wouldn't probably write in the tool. I think you should have your own style and then just kind of use this as maybe a quick sanity check or assessment on how you're doing. I'm sure teachers would say, well, this shouldn't be the be-all, end-all of how you assess your own writing, style. But I think it probably could be a tool. And I found it very useful to kind of look at maybe weaknesses in my own writing style and make some corrections. I know I use the passive voice too often. My wife tells me that all the time. So here's just confirmation of that fact. That's the HemingwayApp.com.
Very nice. Anything to help a techie out with writing is a good thing. Not at the top of my list of skills. So
that's for
sure. Very good.
Okay.
Martin,
about that with kids is that kids often ask you for your opinion. You know, what do you think about this? Here, will you read this and tell me what you think? And I am glad to do that, but I'm not the expert. It'd be nice to say, you know, put it in there and see what they say, you know. So that's a great idea.
Very good.
Give it a shot. Sally, we probably have some news on some training we want to make everybody aware of.
We do. Coming up this summer, July 29th through August 1st, Martin and I are going to team up for training on the Final Web website management system. And we have, I think we previously announced it on this show, but we're actually moving forward with registration. Registration is officially opening with this announcement, and we'll have links in the show notes. You can get all the information at bit.ly/FWTrainingInfo, and there are links there to the sign-up sheets for the one-day teacher's class, which kind of focuses on classroom-oriented websites, and then the three-day dummies class, which is Final Web from top to bottom. And Final Web is a bit different these days than it has been in the past, so if you want to come and learn Final Web top to bottom new, we're going to be doing things differently than we have in past Final Web trainings and using all the new tool set that's available. So join us in lovely Pewaukee, Wisconsin.
Waukesha.
Waukesha, Wisconsin, at the Center for Mission and Ministry. Yes. Isn't Pewaukee like right there?
Right across the street, yeah.
Okay, want to get that wrong.
You stay in the hotel, we recommend you're in Pewaukee. But
there you go.
Technically, our mailing address is Waukesha. And I would say that this class has filled up in the past, so not a bad idea to register early, check your summer calendar, and sign up early, and bring your friends and ask them to sign up early as well so we can fill the class. But it's been very beneficial to those who have attended in the past. Let's move to community feedback.
We've got feedback to share, starting with a link from Dave Tess. He shared this over on the Wells Schools Using Chromebooks or something like that. I forget the name of the community now. Wells Google Schools, I think, is what it's called. That's and he said, if you're having problems with your Google Apps install, perhaps this app status dashboard is a good place to check, because sometimes Google goes down. And so you can check here and see if there are any outages and which apps the outages are affecting. So we'll have that link available in the show notes.
Great. Thanks, Dave.
Next up, a comment from Pastor Rob Gunther, a couple of different comments. First, a new app that he found called Appear.in, and he says, for meetings and Bible classes, etc., but it's not going to record an archive. I think this is one-click video conversations. I like it because it's easy to access, no login or invites necessary like you have to deal with Google+. And it's simple, no ads all over the place like TinyChat. What I dislike is that there's no mobile access yet, but many of my members who join online for midweek Bible class do so from their smartphones or tablets. So hopefully in time, Appear.in will add mobile access as well. Also from Pastor Gunther, last week, Martin, you remember that we had an anonymous contributor talking about some different movie type resources, things you could use with your teens, yep. ways to find good movie clips that might illustrate a point in a Bible class or whatever. Pastor Gunther shared that the Internet Movie Database, which is kind of a standard place where all the movies are categorized and actors and directors and all those things are written about. It has a good parental guide for each movie. I didn't realize this, but here I am on the Lego movie. It's popular right now. And over here in the quick links area, you'll notice there is a link to a parent's guide. So you can go there and see ratings for things like sex and nudity, violence and gore, and other categories, profanity, alcohol, drugs, and smoking. And you can kind of get a warning about areas that may be worth being concerned about as a parent bringing a young child to a movie. So that's great to know. I didn't realize that was there on every single movie in the Internet Movie Database.
Another site like that, though, isn't there? Crosswalk, I believe. Crosswalk Movie Review? Yeah. Well,
okay.
crosswalk.com/video movie something or other. We can put a show note in the show notes. But yeah, they do the same thing. Christian reviewers that'll kind of highlight, you know, the family friendliness of a particular movie from a Christian's perspective. So
excellent. One more site from Pastor Gunther. It's called textweek.com. The text this week, it's focusing on lectionary readings for a particular Sunday. And they sometimes have good illustrations for a text, but they also have a movie index. Oh. So if you just select your sermon text, it'll sometimes offer some movie clip suggestions for illustrating your point. Then you could go over to Wing Clips or wherever and a clip for use in a Bible class or in a sermon. All kinds of different ways that it's indexed and things. So nice. That's textweek.com. I don't know if we have a ministry resource from him yet, but maybe I should have thrown that one in as a ministry resource. That's probably worthy of listing on the ministry resources page.
Yeah, as if he needs another badge. Huh?
He could always use a badge from Wells Tech. Right, Pastor Gunther? I know you're listening.
Okay.
All right. Next up, from Cindy Krieger, we heard about Safari Books. I think maybe we've talked about this once before on the podcast. Cindy writes that Safari eBooks is a compilation of technology books from leading authors and publishers. More specifically, Safari includes technology, business, creative, digital media, and personal and professional development resources and book, video, exercise, and even code snippets. There's a charge for the service, but anyone can go to their website and browse the library, and it's also possible to sign up for a free trial. That's at safaribooksonline.com.
Yep, I've used that in the past. They give you kind of different levels where you can have a number of books on the shelf. So I think at the lowest level, you can have 5 books at a time and check them, you know, read them online, of course. And there's mobile apps for these, too. So.
All right. And then finally, I'll just make mention, I had an email this week from my friends in the Lutheran Schools office. She wanted to share iPad resources for the classroom and had a question along those lines. And I sent her to 2 different websites. The first one is ipadeducators.ning.com. This is the iPads and Education Ning site. And they have all kinds of resources around iPads and education. You can create a free account and ask questions on the discussion forum. They have links to videos. They have suggested iPad apps. just on and on and on with iPads and education. In addition, I, of course, want to give a shout-out to my friend Tony Vincent and his Learning in Hand website. He has a page dedicated to iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, iOS, and all kinds of resources available over at Learning in Hand. So check that out. If you're using iPads in your classroom, I bet you'll find something new that will be of use to you.
Showing a little love to Tony.
Always.
Always.
Who wouldn't?
Okay. Is that it for community feedback?
Yep, that's going to do it this week, Martin.
Next week, Sally's on vacation.
Yay! Mississippi.
To a warmer climate, finally.
That's right.
So that's good. We're happy for you, I think. right, Gail? We're happy for
you. Oh,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of on my own, but we're going to do a little pre-recording of our conversation. And I'm doing a presentation this weekend, Sunday night, about building mobile web apps. And so that's really what we're going to talk about next week is how you too, if you'd like, to you could build your very own mobile web app. It's not that hard. In fact, I'm going to teach a bunch of folks Sunday night how to do it in just 2 hours. So come back next week and we'll talk you through that.
We're going to do it in 30 minutes or less on the podcast, though.
Yeah. Maybe I'll slow it down. I'll talk fast. So.
Yeah.
So what's this item in here? Wells Google Schools Community. Why is this in our mind map?
Ignore that.
Oh.
Ignore the man behind the curtain. I actually deleted that from the mind map. I can't imagine it's not deleted from yours.
I don't have the latest copy, apparently.
Oh, well.
We want to thank Gail, as always, for joining the show. We've made it actually kind of difficult for Gail to join us. She's moved heaven and earth to try and join us this week because she has normally faculty meetings on Tuesday afternoons.
Every Tuesday from 3:30 to 5. So.
And they wouldn't change it for the Wells Tech podcast.
No, but so. They did let me get out for the two that we're doing live. They did let me get out like tonight and the next one before school gets out. I think there's only one more time.
Okay.
So, yes.
We appreciate that.
I don't get to participate as a participant live, but you know, it's still good to listen to them.
We'll have to give them some kind of badge for letting you do that.
There you go. The Wells Tech sacrifice badge. There you go. Wow.
All right. And I guess I shouldn't read this checklist thing in the map either here, Sally. That's internal use only.
Yes, sir. Please ignore that as well.
But one thing I should be reading is our music download, and that's from Ben-Hur Kamrang. Brothers, Sisters, Let Us Gladly. You can download that for free all week. Go to our show notes page, wellstech.wells.net. Our freshly minted show notes page, we should mention. We moved platforms. So if you actually see any gotchas there, some things that don't work right, don't be afraid. Don't be shy. Let us know that. And Sally's husband will be right there to fix it for us.
It's a pretty big deal to move 330 podcasts, believe it or not.
As we just found out. Who knew?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Who knew? So, all right. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. We'll talk to you next week, Tuesday, 4 o'clock, if you want to join us live. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.